Praise God. Blessed and highly flavored. We're the salt of the world, right? Not the pepper. Salt preserves. Praise God. Oh, to God be the glory. Would you turn your, grab your swords and turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. If you don't have a sword with you, we gladly give you one. Ask and you shall receive. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're not religious? It's amazing. People that don't know the Lord, they always think you're very religious. Because they don't know what relationship is. They don't even know what religion is. I want to repeat again that we are in a time of great trial, tribulation, things that are happening in the world. Many people don't even know what's going on. They still walk according to the world. They still love the world. And truly have not a relationship with the Lord. There's a bunch of religion going on, but not enough relationship. The Bible even tells us that those that know the Lord and follow him, signs will follow them. And it says that they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick. Signs will follow those who know him. Revelation and impartation. Things will begin to follow. There'll be power over darkness. Because the Bible tells us that our fight is not physical, but it is spiritual. And where there is a spiritual battle, there must be a preparation because there are spiritual weapons. Because you can't fight something spiritually, physically. Amen? It must be fought spiritually. So many times people try to change relationships, jobs, churches, all kinds of stuff. And the whole problem is because they're not battling. Is everybody with me? They're not battling. And I'm not telling you to stay at a church that doesn't cast out devils, pray in the spirit, or worship God. I wouldn't stay somewhere that doesn't love God's presence. Is everybody with me? I mean, it's the presence of the Lord that's the most important thing in our life because that's where we came from. And that's the only place of fulfillment that there really is. That's it, in his presence. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many things you've accomplished in your life. Those things will all burn away. But the presence of God will never burn away. In fact, he'll burn you away. That's what we prayed for today, the fire of God. To what? Burn our garbage. Burn our garbage. Amen? Why? Because we want to be purified. You know, gold, which is one of the most precious materials of the world, when it is actually purified, when it's heated, it becomes transparent. When it is liquefied, it actually becomes transparent. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get us to a place where we are transparent, where we're no longer seen, but he's seen. Amen? In the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? It says in what? You, is everybody there? Anybody there? It says, you he made alive who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Now, this is very powerful here. He talks about where we once walked according to the course of this world. Now, there's something that keeps us in the course of this world. And the things that keep us in the course of this world are called carnal, the carnal wall. They're carnal. It's a wall of carnality. It's called the carnal wall. We're going to talk about that. It says, where we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of air. Why? This wall releases a toxin. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the what? Lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So this dimensional wall, it is a wall. In other words, the course of this world is held by the wall of carnality. The carnal wall, that's what we call it. It's the carnal wall. It's actually a wall that it's all connected. You know, we don't see it, but we sense it. And it releases this toxin. And it's actually associated. This is what imprisons the citizens in the matrix. This wall not only enslaves its citizens, these walls are toxic release, or what we call emitting, demonic influence of lust, fear, and pride, which is directed by the power of the prince of air. I'm going to explain a little bit more about this, because a few days ago, the Lord gave me a vision of this. And when I asked, what is this? He said, that's the carnal wall. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this wall is not the veil. There's a difference between the veil and the wall. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14, would you read it with me? It says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. This veil is the veil over the eyes and over the heart, it prevents an individual from receiving the truth of Christ through the message of Christ. And let me tell you, once that veil is removed, it can easily be put back on again. This is the personal veil that's placed on the eyes and the heart. When you and I are born, we are born with a veil. We cannot see truth because we are born in darkness. We don't understand truth until eventually we are born again by the Spirit of God. In verse 15 it says, but even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is everybody with me? And the Spirit of God begins to fill you, that veil becomes removed. The veil of the eyes and the veil of the heart. When Saul, who became Paul the Apostle, he was veiled. He was a Pharisee. He thought he was doing the great things of God. He was out murdering Christians, thinking it was good. He thought he was doing the will of God until the Lord visited him. And then he sent a servant to go lay hands on him. And Saul got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they changed the name from Saul to Paul. And it says that veils, like scales, came off of his eyes so that he was able to see spiritually and receive spiritually. The world, everyone is born with veils on their eyes and their hearts. Is everybody with me? It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now he's going to show you who the Lord is. Now the Lord is the what? Verse 17. The Spirit. The Lord is the what? The Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is what? Liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this veil that is taken away in Christ is known as also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, those veils come off. But the walls that are still here, the walls of carnality, are not removed. They are permanent. They must be penetrated. They must be what? Penetrated. Again, the walls keep you in the course. If you were to put a mouse, all right, if you were to put a mouse in the matrix, in a maze, what it's going to do is go, it's going to run to the least resistant, whatever door is open. It stays in the least resistant. And it will run and it will run and it will run till it ages or till it gets finally tired and gives up and submits to whatever is there. And then it dies. Those walls in the maze are called the walls of carnality. But these are not solid walls. They are flexible walls. When these walls were shown to me, they looked like jello. They were thick, like tall walls of jello. You couldn't climb them. They were wobbly. And then there was openings. And see, what causes me and you to do the will of man is by staying. Those would keep the course of this world. Because we have a tendency to go to the least resistant. Is everybody okay? So what happens is we're not willing to penetrate through them. Only by doing the will of God can you penetrate through those walls. Other than that, if you're not one who's penetrating through those walls, you are doing the will of man. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Everybody there? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's read it together. It says what? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. Those who do the will of God abide forever. The carnal wall, again, is a maze with openings that is called the course of this world. It is the course of this world. Humans have a tendency to always go to the least resistant. But I'm telling you right now that these open doors, these openings of least resistance, always cause an individual to go into places, and it's called the course of this world or the will of man or the will of darkness. The wall of carnality promotes the will of the flesh. It is deceptive. It's lying. Its toxin is demonic, and it influences every individual here on the planet. It even deceives believers. It keeps people trapped in the matrix until they die. There are many believers who have no idea that they're still not doing the will of God. They call themselves Christians, but the word believe means to follow. That's why Jesus said, follow me. If he goes, penetrates through that carnal wall, then you follow him through that wall. Why? Because that's the will of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Is everybody there? In verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to what? Carnal people. As to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not able to receive it. Why? Because they're still going to the least resistant. They're still going to the course of this world. Even though that they're believers. See, what the enemy wants to always try to do is prevent a Christian from growing, from maturing, from making what is unseen to be seen. I can't tell you how many people claim to be Christians and they don't even know what the keys of the kingdom are. They don't even know what binding is or loosening is. They're still proclaiming, oh, Jesus did it all, I don't need to do nothing. Well, that person's an idiot, spiritually ignorant, dumb. The Bible says we should be like Jesus. Amen? Didn't he raise the dead, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils? Well, that's not stopped, has it? I certainly believe in first strike. Every morning you get up, you strike first because you're going to get struck. You're to put on the full armor of God. Most believers don't even know what the heck the full armor of God is. They think it's putting on their clothes because they don't want to go out there naked. But they have because they can only think carnally, not spiritually. Their first purpose is, how do I make money? How do I make money? See, because money is still their God, even though they proclaim Jesus is their Lord. But he's not the Lord. Jesus might be their Savior, but he ain't their Lord, because when he's your Lord, you don't own your life. He is the Lord over your life, no longer you. Hello? Praise God. Let's read verse 2 again. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are what? Envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? See, mere men is associated with doing the course of this world. They're being influenced by the carnal walls, going through the least resistance, not willing to change. You know, many people are content in doing the will of the course of this world. Many people are bound by fear. Well, if I do something, then the devil might come at me. He's already got you. You don't have to worry him coming after you. He's already got you. Is everybody okay? Carnal people are always concerned about self and what they want for their lives. The carnal wall is an absorption wall. What it does is it drains spiritual life from individuals. It drains the life of reality from individuals so that they get caught up in the matrix. And what the matrix, see, it's, the matrix produces a false vision, false hope. It's like a piece of equipment that draws a battery till its life drains out. It's a dimensional wall that is controlled by Satan's kingdom. It is upheld by human bloodshed and sacrifice and the sin of mankind. I'm going to say it again. How is it upheld? By blood, by the shedding of blood, human sacrifice, and by the sins of mankind. The purpose of these walls is to set impressions, is to basically set an impression in the individuals and keep its citizens in prison and cause them to walk the course again, of the least resistance or the will of God. Again, it brings false visions. It is a gelatin type of wall. It moves. It's reflective. It's a thick reflective. It releases a demonic sense or a demonic gas, which we call the prince of power of air. It causes individually to think carnally, live carnally, with no discernment. Causes an individual to become lazy and complacent. It almost puts them in a trance. So they just do what they're told and not even know who's telling them. In Romans 8. That's why Jesus set up a tabernacle. What did he do? He set up a tabernacle with a wall around it. This tabernacle was set up in the world. Moses came and set the tabernacle up. He set it right up in the matrix. It was the place of hiding. It was a place of refuge. It was a place of healing, a place of restoration. And in the tabernacle, there were three veils. There weren't walls anymore. They were veils. And as much deep as you wanted the Spirit and to know God is up to you. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He made a way of escape for me and you. And grace is the plan of escape that you and I must cooperate with. It's not a magical thing. It says that grace was a gift. What's the gift? The gift is the blueprint to get the heck out of here and take dominion over the powers of darkness. We don't live by mystical things. We live by truth. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring you a sword. Well, that sword's to cut through those walls, I want you to know. It's to cut the heads off of serpents. It's to overcome the powers of darkness. In Romans 8 and verse 5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh. Wait a minute. So if you're living according to the flesh, it means that you're under the prince of power of air. You're still living the course of this world. Because those who live in the flesh live the course of this world. In fact, if you think about it, the flesh, is that not a wall in itself? Hello? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death, man. How many of y'all want to be trapped in the matrix, going through the least resistant, constantly being deceived, working your butt off all the days of your life, giving your money to the devil, not even knowing you are, never advancing, always deceived, sick, deceived, and broke. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, but I've been a believer 30 years. You're still carnal. Why? Because you haven't given up your life yet. Jesus really isn't Lord over your life. He's your Savior. And there's a difference. You're still allowing the vapors of deception that come off of these walls and the voices of strangers and the demonic forces to infiltrate you, to influence you, to move you. That's where people who are zealous for the Lord go back to lukewarm. There are people at one time, man, I'm telling you, when it was time to gather together and worship the Lord, woo, they were the first ones there. Now they don't even show up because the vapors have taken them over. When it's time for intercession, bam, they would drop whatever it was and go pray, intercede. Now they call a doctor. Now they do this. Now they go to the phone instead of the throne. They've lost the sight of the power of Christ. And they're looking for the power of man and the things of man and the education of man instead of the power and the knowledge of God Almighty. That is called deception. Sucking in those vapors that are sucking them dry. These walls emanate a mind-controlling stimulus. It is a toxic message by the voice of strangers. It is associated with mind control, which causes an individual to flow to the least resistant. False sense of ease and fulfillment. False vision. You came to hear the truth, right? I'm telling you, this is what's going on right now. Hebrews chapter 5. These gases, vapors, toxic fumes, the voices of the stranger, they pervert everything. They pervert it. They are filthy. They are dirty. They pervert it. They promote lust. They promote sex. Not making love. They promote sex. Does everybody got it? There's a difference. They promote defiling the bed. They promote pornography. They promote all kinds of things. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. They promote greed. Everything associated with me, myself, and I. They promote lying, exaggeration, manipulation. They promote anger and hatred. They promote all the things of the world, and they promote division. In Hebrews chapter 5, is everybody there? In verse 12, would you read it with me? For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers. You know how many people are claiming to be believers? 20, 10 years, 15 years, and they still can't go out and teach the truth. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. There are believers that are still living on milk. And living on milk is dangerous. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Can you imagine being a believer 10 years and still be a babe? Still not overcoming? Listen, we have the power to choose. Every one of us. Those fumes emit a thing of criticism and accusation. They never want to take responsibility. Well, it's your problem why I'm doing what I'm doing. Wait a minute. They want to blame everyone else for their stuff. Not willing to take responsibility. You know why? Because they don't want to stand before the Lord. They'd rather stand before humans and accuse and lie and manipulate instead of stand before the Lord and repent. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are what? A full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both what is good and evil. Come on! If you can't discern that now, and you've been a believer for 10 years, there's something wrong. You need to check your fruits. And if you can't check your fruits, ask your spouse. And if they can't find them, well, my office is always open. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. It's amazing how many people that proclaim to be a believer, they go through stuff and they go to counsel of people of the world. Just blows me away. Yes, they go to psychiatrists. You know, I guess it's just not spoken of in the church, in the body of Christ. Their education came from demonic. Then what they're going to do? Look, they're going to put you under demon management, but those demons are still going to get fed. You're not going to be free from them. Here, take this. This will make you feel better. It's a pill about the size of this pulpit. Chop it in pieces and take a little bit each day. Oh, it didn't tell you the side effects. Death, delusion, deception. You may see demons. You may see butterflies. But you can sleep good. But I got to tell you, you may have a lot of nightmares. You may pass out and you may not get up. Oh, that's what the world has. Bipolar. No such thing as bipolar. That's amazing to me. That's their latest trend, bipolar. Of course, when they come, people come here with that, we say bye to polar, right? Polar don't belong in Florida. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Would you read it with me? But we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Look at, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things. We look at what Paul said about hard press, but man, when the Lord showed me the vision of these walls and the hard press. And I mean, you know, these walls, it was like, there were like four foot between each wall. And there was walls on both sides. And you would walk down these gelatin tall walls that are about so thick. And they're always reflecting. You can see you all the time, no matter where you go. Except for where you walk through the opening, and it was just constantly there. But it was like, I could sense what it was emitting. This nasty, dirty, toxic gas, like. And then I saw heads coming out of them, like demonic shadows sticking out and speaking and speaking. And Paul said here in verse 8, he says, we are hard-pressed on where? Every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in what? Despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And when he brought me to that scripture, I could sense us walking. Man, we're hard-pressed, persecuted by these, what we might think walls, but they're actually demonic spirits in these things speaking to us, spewing on us. And people are being taken by them. And they're just walking through like it's okay. In James chapter 1. Carnal wall. The carnal wall. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 22. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? This is what the world is. It's what we live in. The walls do not go away. You are hard-pressed, influenced on a daily basis. In verse 22, would you read it with me? Well, let's start at verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all what? Filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Doers of the word, that means there's something you must do. Cooperate with the word. And who is the word? The word became flesh. His name was Jesus. But he was still the word. In other words, he's saying cooperate with grace. Cooperate with the eternal plan. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his what? Natural face in the mirror. What mirror? The walls. Why? Because there's a reflection in the carnal walls, isn't there? For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues and is faithful and diligent in it, and is not a forgetful hearer. In other words, he puts it into practice. But a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. He will have victory. He will have victory over sickness, over debt, over everything. We will have victory as long as we don't allow the walls of carnality to influence us. Hallelujah. In Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 6, it says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect with individuals, for they are not all Israel who are Israel. In other words, they are not all Christians who say they are Christians. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, and Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not children of God. Does everybody get that? The children of the flesh are not children of God. I went and interviewed somebody in jail the other day, and one of the things that the girl asked me, she goes, aren't we all children of God? I said, no. She goes, well, I thought we were all children of God. I said, no. I said, there's those who are of the flesh and those who are of the spirit. There are those who are born of the flesh and born of the blood of man, or the will of man, but there are those who are born of the Spirit of God. In other words, we were sent by God into this realm. Hello? That's why we must be born again to become His offspring. But we had to come in this realm in darkness that we could be born again to the light and fulfill the mission God has set for us to do. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. So we see that there's a difference between the children of the flesh and the children of God, isn't there? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we walk in the flesh, what, the carnal walls. We walk in this flesh that's on both sides, with these carnal walls that are always emanating the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh, the carnal understanding. In other words, you're not going to try and kick a wall or knock it down. It ain't going to work. It's not going to budge on you in the natural arena. There's only one way to penetrate that wall. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. First, your obedience is to cast down those thoughts and those things that are coming off of these walls, these demonic forces and influences, to keep you in the matrix so that you do the course of the world instead of the will of God. Believe me, you walk down these walls, there's hands that come out and say, medication. There's hands that come out and say, lust. There's hands that, voices, heads. I saw heads coming out. I saw voices, smokes of voices coming out. constantly. It was so toxic and disgusting. And I thought, my gosh, I live in this? He said, yeah. The ruler of this world, Satan. That's why we got to shake the dust off every day. That's why we got to bind the powers of darkness so that the Lord goes before you. So what you're doing is you're setting a path. The Bible says what? The word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. That's the decree in the word. You must make the declarations yourself because what comes out of your mouth. You're setting the path. You're putting them in order. You're slamming them. Anyone sticks their head out, you pull out the sword. Hallelujah. So that your obedience must come first. You must cast down those thoughts. You must get rid of those thoughts. You're exchanging the thoughts and impressions of the world with the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the heart of Christ. You're making an exchange. I'll tell you what. Do we got a prayer book here? We got the prayer books. Bring me a prayer book so I can show people who are watching. Throw me one. All right. I got one here. It's penetrating. Is that one penetrating? Yeah, give me the penetrator. Penetrate. Penetrate. These prayers penetrate. Hello. These prayers penetrate. What do? They penetrate the walls that you can do the will of God instead of going the easy way. Hallelujah. Anyone ask for one, we send them free. Oh, don't forget also that we also have the reality series. This is the Revive Reality Series. Watch it, look at it, understand it, because this is happening. If you don't get it, you're in trouble. No understanding, deception will mislead you again. Amen? Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. No, I ain't going there. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. He sparks 11. In verse 30. Listen, it says, very powerful. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they encircled for 7 days. By faith. See, faith is not blind. You know what the Lord told him to do? He said, told him to march around Jericho. And then at a certain time, everyone shout and blow the trumpets. And a sound was let loose because it was ordained and backed by the Lord. And the walls, the carnal walls of Jericho, came down. Has everybody got it? The carnal walls of Jericho came down because the words were backed by the anointing. Because the Lord said to do this. See, God will guide you every single day through the matrix. If you are not guided by the Lord, that's why the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Then individuals go the easy way. They go back to the course of the world again instead of going through the walls doing the will of God. Nothing should interfere. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? So that's one of the weapons, isn't it? To get through these walls. In Psalm 97, does everybody have vision now of what's happening? Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice and the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Look at verse 3. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies around him. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. Look at the next verse. The mountains what? Melt like, say the walls? Melt like the wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the earth, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. So these walls melt at the presence of God. Well, while we're here, Psalm 147. Psalm 147. In verse 15, says, he sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? Look at verse 18. Read it with me. He sends out his word and what? Melts them. He melts the what? The walls. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Verse 4, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice in the earth. What? Melted. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. See, you are what you see you are. As a man thinks, so he is. If you allow those reflections of those walls always bring you to you, you need to see Christ in those walls, not you. Hebrews 13, the carnal wall, walls of carnality. Verse 15, it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the what? Sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In other words, that sacrifice of praise now. That's why we come and we worship. See, one of the things the enemy doesn't want you to do is be filled with the Spirit. He doesn't want you to be anointed because he knows the only way to break through those walls is by the anointing of Christ and the words of God backed by the anointing. So if you're not filled with the anointing, hello, if you're not filled with the Spirit, how are you going to be backed by the word? How are you going to be backed by the anointing when you give the word? That's like throwing a bucket of seed at a wall. It ain't going to do nothing. The only way it's going to penetrate is if you're backed by the anointing. Praise and worship. What brought Jericho down? Praise and worship, didn't it? Hello? So what's the difference? None. None. It's time we stop allowing the impression of this world and the walls of carnality to constantly guide us. It's misrepresentation. I'm going to close in Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the what? The middle wall of what? Yeah, man. Having abolished it in his flesh, the enmity that is the law of commandments containing ordinances as so to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. One Spirit, not an idol, hello, not a demon spirit, not Mary, Sister Mary, Mother of Jesus, not through Father Giuseppe, or was that Father Sarducci? For those that are my age, you'll know who I'm talking about. He used to be on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. His nickname was Guido. Guido Sarducci. He used to push the Monsignor in it. He used to give him all of the dope, you know. Monsignor. I had to go there. I'm sorry. It was hilarious. Now, you know, when I look back when I was in the world and see all these things, you know, we thought it was funny then, but I think it's hilarious now. How stupid we were, never realizing, you know. So we don't go through nobody to the Father. No one man comes to the Father except for through Jesus. And Jesus was the manifested Spirit of the living God, called himself Son, but he was actually God. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the church chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being knitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen? So let those walls melt through, and you do go and follow the Lord and do the will of God, and don't be influenced by the walls of carnality. Amen? Father, we are honored and blessed for your word today. We just ask in the name of Jesus that the seed that is imparted today will grow and bear fruit for your glory, that you'll give your people boldness. Lord, that you'll heal every single one that needs a healing here today as I send your word that by your stripes they be made whole, healed, delivered, freed, and that you'll baptize them in the Holy Spirit and those who are seeking more of you. And if they're not, Lord, I pray that you'll give them a thirst and hunger to want to know you, to want to know you and behold your glory. Slam dunk them in the Holy Spirit, Lord, and take them to places they've never been before, that they may know you are real, your promises are real, your presence is real, and your power is real, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.